said that a picture is worth a thousand words. Raise your hand if you've ever heard that before. Many of you, most of you. A picture is worth a thousand words. And there are pictures inside the frame of my mind from significant moments in my life. That one that just took place a moment ago certainly is there now. Being able to baptize my own son. What a great picture. I'll never forget that. And we had an entire paparazzi back there that you couldn't see flashing and filming. So it is well documented, okay? But some of the pictures that I've been thinking about lately are when Allison told me 6 and 5 years ago that we were pregnant. And we're not pregnant now. Let me make sure everybody hears that, okay? So don't, like, update your Facebook right now. Wow, they're pregnant. The church is growing. No, the church is growing, but we are not pregnant. I'm just saying that there was a time that was incredibly important that was a snapshot moment for me. And by the way, we were not pregnant. She was pregnant. I was just there cheering on. Guys, don't ever mistake that, okay? You are not the one who's pregnant. And in case you think otherwise, just ask your wife. She will make sure where the pronoun needs to go once it goes a little further down the process. But we were pregnant up front, and then she was pregnant solely later on. But when she told me, hey, we are pregnant, and we were pregnant with our first, and then about a year or so later, we became pregnant with our second, with Jack, and then with Lucy. And if you've ever had those moments of experiencing finding out that you're pregnant, you are not only flooded with emotion, but you are flooded with 1,001 thoughts, 1,001 images that just begin to flood into your mind of what that little baby might be like, of what he or she might look like, and what they might do, and what they might be good at, and the niche that they might have in life. Your mind just starts wandering, and it starts rolling, and it starts what-if-ing of all the different possibilities that are still yet to be real. And then you make a doctor's appointment, and you go to the doctor, and the hope is that you'll go, and you'll get to hear and see the heartbeat for the first time. We've actually had 3 of those trips. The first one, we didn't see a heartbeat. And that was a really, really hard moment. And God was with us and walked us through to 2 other times where we did get to go. And we got to see and hear the heartbeat. And it was incredible. And he puts this jelly stuff that apparently is really, really cold on mom's tummy. And takes this little thing and puts it right here. And up on the screen pops a little picture. And all of those thoughts and emotions just kind of go away when this comes rolling off the little screen. And all of a sudden, there's a person in the picture. You can't tell if that's a boy or a girl right there, so we just called it our little bean, because it looks like a little bean in there. But I mean, when the bean showed up, it was like, whoa, the picture just became worth thousands and thousands of word. In an instant, the picture was worth 1,000 words. And for me, what became a concept and what had begun, what had just kind of started off as a thought or an incredible idea, just became way more real when I could actually hold this. I mean, once I had a picture of my child in my hand, it just became more known to me. It became more real to me. This morning, we are wrapping up a sermon series called God's Chisel, Being Shaped by Him. And throughout this month, we've just been looking at Scripture and talking about God as this master who is shaping us, chiseling us into His original masterpiece. From way back when, He's just been sculpting us, and He's been knocking off the rough edges. He's been shoring up the soft spots in us. He's just been moving away all the layers around our lives that don't need to be there, so that we would take more and more shape into who He longs for us to be, who He's always thought we could be and dreamed that we could be. And so we've been looking at this metaphor of a chisel and God being a chisel and just chiseling and shaping our lives. And just as a little baby gets formed and created into human shape in a mother's womb, God has been shaping us in ways that go way beyond we may ever realize. And there's just kind of been a banner verse that's been running all throughout this sermon series. It's from Ephesians 2, verse 10. You don't have to look it up. You can if you want to, but it'll be on the screen. And Ephesians 2, 10 just says this, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And we've just been talking about the significance of that word in there, workmanship. We are God's workmanship. And we just talked about that word workmanship in the Greek is the word poiema. And poiema means something that has been made, something that's been formed, something that an artist would take and sculpt and create. And so we are the sculpted, created works of art, the original masterpiece that God continues to work on. We're His poiema, we're His workmanship. And the reason that God created us and the reason that we are His original masterpieces is right there in verse 10. Created in Christ Jesus, say it with me, for good works. And then it goes on to say, which God prepared when? Beforehand. You might just want to jot that word down on your notes. Beforehand. That's going to be a critical word for us this morning. That means that God has a plan for your life and for my life. God's got a destiny for you and for me. God has a purpose, has always had a purpose, is creating you in mind with a purpose and a plan and a destiny for you to fulfill, to walk in. God, as I was saying, has a plan and a purpose for your life. He's always had it in mind. And as I was studying this past week for this message, I came across something that absolutely blew my mind even more than my microphone almost blew up. And I've got to share it with you this morning. It's something that deals not only with us being God's original masterpiece, but more so, it's about the master. It's about the nature and the character of this God who's been chiseling us and shaping us into who He wants us to be. It's an amazing concept. I mean, it will totally blow your mind if you get your mind around it. So I want to show you where it is. It's in the Old Testament, and I believe it was read a little bit earlier in our worship service, but in Jeremiah chapter 1, you need to flip there and see something if you can, because this just totally floored me. Jeremiah chapter 1 is going to be on page 627. If you're using the Bible in the pew in front of you, I encourage you to flip over in your copy of Scripture. And in Jeremiah chapter 1, we're just going to zone in and hone in on verse 5. This is an incredible verse that absolutely blew my mind. As much as when Allison told me that we were pregnant, if I would just stop to really get my mind around it. And it's totally blown me away. Jeremiah 1:5. God is talking to the prophet Jeremiah, and He's talking to Jeremiah about Jeremiah, okay? And look at what He says in verse 5. This is incredible. God says this about Jeremiah, to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." That is an amazing verse of Scripture. In this verse, God does four things. God forms you, God knows you, God consecrates you, and God appoints you. All that together, all those four things together mean this: God has a plan and a purpose and a destiny for you, for your life. And there's four things that are there. I want us just to camp on one thing this morning. Just one thing that I want us to try to wrap our minds around, and it's this: God knows you. Can we just take an out loud note together and just say that? That is a truth about God and about us. God knows you. Let's just say it. God knows you. He does. He knows you. God says that before he ever formed Jeremiah in the womb, he knew Jeremiah. Before you're ever in the womb, I knew you, Jeremiah. I knew you. That word knew, that's an interesting word in the Hebrew. In the Hebrew, the word knew or to know is yada. Let's just say that together because it's fun to say. Yada. No, not Yoda. It's not an old Jedi master. It's yada. Yada. That's a fun word. Yada. Yada. You need to know something about yada. Yada in the Hebrew doesn't just mean it's a head knowledge that you intellectually know something like math. But yada in the Hebrew is a relational heart knowing. It's a relational heart knowledge. It's the kind of knowledge that comes from first-hand contact between two persons. Think about that for a minute. First-hand contact between two persons. And if that's how the Bible says that God knew Jeremiah before he was ever even in the womb, then guess what? That's how God knows you. You go, how can you say that? Because Scripture always interprets Scripture. And it says over in Hebrews 13:8, it talks about our great God named Jesus, and he says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The nature and character of our God is that he's a knowing God. He knew you before you ever got chiseled on with one blow. He knew you. And right now, some of your eyes are just kind of glazing over going, whoa, that's a deep concept. That's not in the shallow kiddie pool. That's like in the deep end of the pool. He knows you. He knows you. Folks, your Creator God is not only chiseling you into his original masterpiece. You're not only his poema, his workmanship. He's known you before you were ever a little bean in your mama's womb. He's known you. Has face-to-face, first-hand knowledge and contact about you before you ever showed up on the sonogram. What a huge concept, Jeremiah 1:5. And not only is that a huge concept there, but that's a huge first word. Let me just read it to you again. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Would you just say that first word with me? Before. Say it like you mean it. Before. Before is a critical piece to this whole puzzle about knowing the nature and character of our great God. Before. 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 I love what Eugene Peterson says about this word. Before. In his book, Run with the Horses, listen to what Peterson says about before. He says, before Jeremiah knew God, God knew Jeremiah. Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Can I just tell you, this turns everything that we ever thought about God around. It turns it all around. Why does that turn it all around? But because we think about God as an object that we have questions about. We are curious about God. We make inquiries about God. We read books about God. We get into late night bull sessions about God. We drop into church every now and then to see what's going on with God. We may go to a symphony or get up to watch a sunrise or a sunset to cultivate a feeling of reverence for God. But this is not the reality of our lives with God. You go, why? Because long before we ever got around to asking questions about God, God has been questioning us. Long before we ever got interested in the subject of God, God subjected to us the most intensive and searching knowledge. before it ever even crossed our minds that God was important, God singled us out as important. Before we were ever formed in our mother's wombs, God knew us. We are known before we ever know anything. And I thought about that, and I thought I knew my kids and started knowing my kids when the picture came off the doctor's equipment. And now you can go and you can get more knowledge about your kids while they're in the womb. You can find out about their genetics in there. You can move from a 2D sonogram all the way up to a 4D sonogram. I mean, that might be able to tell you if they're going to be a right-handed pitcher or a southpaw. I don't know. I just know it gets a lot deeper and a lot more detailed now than this right here. But can I just tell you, 4D sonograms pale in comparison to the kind of knowing that God has for you and for me. It totally pales in comparison, because before we were ever even in the womb for a picture to be taken of the little beans that we were, God knew us. He knew us. And you may be sitting there right now going, well, that's all interesting to think about, so what does that have to do with my life? You're thinking that, aren't you? I'm using my Jedi mind tricks right now. I'm reading your mind. You're going, that's fascinating. What does that have to do with where I live on October the 2nd, 2011? That's a great question, because it has everything to do with your life today and tomorrow and in the days ahead, because it has everything to do with your identity. It has everything to do with who God is shaping you to be and the plans that He has for you and the destiny that He has for you to live and to experience, because God knew you before you were ever even in the womb. Can I tell you what that means for your life? That means that you and I don't have to run here and there panicked and anxious and searching out all the answers in life. We don't have to do that anymore. Our lives are not puzzles to be figured out. They're not. And because God knows us, we can come to God as the one who knows us and knows all about us and knows about our plans, our purpose, and our destiny. And we can come to Him and He can reveal the truth of our lives. Why? Because He knows us. Here's the fundamental mistake in our life. The fundamental mistake in our life is when we begin with ourselves instead of with God. The fundamental mistake of our lives is when we begin with ourselves instead of with God. Why? Because God is the center from which all life develops. We enter into a world we didn't create. We are growing into a life that's already been provided for us that God knew about before we ever even came on the scene. When we were born, we arrived into the middle of complex relationships and destinies and plans that were already set in motion and already in operation before we ever came on the scene. And if we're going to live appropriately, we've got to be aware of something, that we are in the middle of a story that God has been writing before we got here and is going to complete after we're gone. And that story is about God. It's not about us. All that's just a fancy way of saying life isn't about us. Life's about God. We have a place in the story, but primarily we're not the center of it. You're a part of God's story. And can I tell you what your part is? For good works. You were created. You are God's original masterpiece for good works. That's why when we've been talking about prayer, the previous sermon series, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, where? On earth as it is where? In heaven. We are to bring heaven to earth for good works, by good works. The things that you do that bless God and bless others and draw people into a knowing relationship with Him. That's why you're here. Whether you're working in the business world or the education sector, or whether you're a stay-at-home mom or a retired grandparent, you're still here for good works. That's why you're here. It's what He wants for you. And because God knows that about you, He's just wondering, do you know that about you? Because when you begin to know about you what He knows about you, you can begin to live out your purpose, your plan, and the destiny that God's always longed for you to have. He's chiseling you, men and women. He's shaping you. He is completing you into His original masterpiece. And God already knew Jeremiah before he was ever even in his mother's womb, before one blow of the chisel ever hit his life. And can I tell you, before you were ever in your mother's womb, before one blow of the chisel to create you, He's known you. He's known all about you. That's why that first word in Jeremiah 1:5 is so important. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. The first thing I said this morning in our time together in this message was this: a picture is worth 1,000 words. The picture of the sonogram meant more than 1,000 words to me when it came to the idea of my kids and then becoming a reality on paper. And I just want to show you a picture of what it looks like for your life to be shaped by God. I want you to sit back and relax. Over the next 10 or 12 minutes or so, I want you to just watch the screen. And I want you to see God's chisel. Watch this.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, His masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso. It's like, but I want to be His masterpiece. I want to be everything He created me to be. And so I go to Him in prayer and I say, Dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of Your Son. Make me Your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. That's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh. Why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm really not into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
What gave it away?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that, don't I? I did it again. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm going to make you into my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay. Yeah. Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, hey, God.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything in your life that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? It showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became back fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running, I tried lifting weights. My wife actually talked me into trying Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here and maybe 4 to 5, maybe 8 lines right here. That would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
Oh, the platypus.
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel, talk,
No. I choose to chisel.
All right. Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Like your anger. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. You compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy. But you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust.
Well, Time out. I don't really have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust.
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I got to admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, you know? And I don't think I'm supposed to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
It's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know. I'll stay right here and then,
That's just it. You never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never you just stay. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things or life, or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control,
no, chisel. No, chisel, chisel.
All right.
But can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Now this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired, that you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life?
Yeah.
You see, it's a process. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize, heavenward.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, trust me, this hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
Don't talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years, these empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character where you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are not my ways.
Oh, I can't.
You can't what?
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse, is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. In the beginning, I said it was good. I made you good. Be good.
Yeah, but you and I both...
What?
Nothing.
No, what is it?
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, I let you down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. And chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror, and I hate who I see. Because deep inside there, this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away, just... be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that were not from me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, God.
Yes?
I just meant, God, I'll do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name above all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, my God. Shh.
You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie.
Other side.
Sorry. Dear God, did I hear you right today? Did I hear you say that you love me? Even though you and I both know I've messed up so many times. Did I hear you say you want to use me? And I feel so useless. If you'll take me and use me, then God, I give you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. This salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at it as a prison, but look at it as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's...
No, not the way you see yourself or you try so desperately for others to see you, but maybe for the first time in your life, the way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
Wow, were you as moved by that as I was moved by that? Where is God chiseling on you? Because he's chiseling on you. He's working on you. He's shaping you. How do we respond to a message like this? There's a couple of different ways. I want to encourage you to take out your worship guide and turn to the inside. There's a question that this week I would love for you to answer. On the inside where it says sermon notes, underneath there it has a question that just simply asks, how has God been chiseling your life? Tell us your story and let us know how God's been shaping you. And then it just gives you an email address, chisel@arbcgarland.com. It'll come straight to me. Don't worry, we're not going to take them and post them on Facebook or anything. I just think it's so interesting and encouraging to know how God's been at work in the lives of people. We need to tell stories. We need to talk about how God's at work. You telling me how God's been chiseling you will help me know how to pastor you and how to pray for you. Because he's working on all of us, isn't he? Whether it's something in secret or something way out in the open, God is at work. Because God knows you. In just a moment, we're going to have an opportunity to stand and to sing and respond in worship to our great God named Jesus. And some of you may need to respond in a couple of different ways during that time. Some of you may need to just go with family or friends to one of these stations where the Lord's Supper is and just recommit your life to Him, reconnect your heart with Him, and just invest a few moments worshiping Him for what He's already done for you at the cross. You may need to just come and kneel at this altar and pray and just say, God, I'm yours. Keep working on me. Don't give up on me. He's not going to give up on you. Others of you may need to make a different kind of a decision this morning. Maybe hearing and seeing what we've heard and seen about the chisel, God's been pounding on your heart. And He's been saying, you know what, it's time for you to give me all of you, because I know you, but you don't yet know me, and you need to know me. And if you need to know Jesus, if you've never stepped into a relationship with Him, come talk to me in a moment as we're worshiping and as we're singing and as we're responding to God. I'll be right down here. There'll be some friends that we can connect you with. You go, well, what do I do? I tell you each week, it's as easy as ABC, and I'll keep telling you that because it really is. The way you know God is by admitting that He's God and you're not. Admitting that He's perfect and the Savior and you're imperfect. You're a sinner. And then B, to believe what God's Word says about who He is and about who you are. And it says if you believe that Jesus died on the cross to forgive you from your sin and to give you a new life, that He'll do it. He's already forgiven you. He's waiting for you to walk into that forgiveness. And then C is just to call out to Him. The Bible says that anybody who calls out and calls on the name of the Lord, that person will be saved. And do you know what that means? That means you get to know Him. And so if you've never done that this morning, I'd love for you to have the opportunity to do that. I'm going to ask you just to bow your head. I'm going to just lead you in a moment of prayer. And if you've never trusted Jesus and come to know Him, would you just right now tell Him that He's God and you're not? You say, God, I'm seeing that you're God and that I'm not. You're the center and I'm not the center. God, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. And that sin separates me from you. And so, Jesus, would you take away my sin, forgive me of my sin, and make me your original masterpiece? Jesus, I call out to you. Every time I come in this church, God's chiseling on me. And it hurts, but it kind of feels good at the same time, because it's making me into who I think God wants me to be. And if you've never made this your church home and you'd like to do that, when we stand and sing in a moment, come meet me at the front. I'd love to help you with those next steps. Maybe you want to follow Christ in baptism like Jack did this morning. Or maybe you just need somebody to pray with you. Whatever you need to do, these next moments, let's respond to God.